Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert. Time isn't real, and neither am I. And with me, I have...
Stay tuned until the end of the episode to find out which YouTube guitarist is making a special guest appearance.
And...
This is Mark's while I talk. He can't come to the front right now. He's lying down, and so am I.
Mark, what did you do to your wallet?
the thing that happened this week happened last week.
Oh yeah, everyone's getting Black Friday started early, so that way all of us sane people can, you know, not be in lines for hours on end trying to fight people for waffle makers and DVDs and
Motion?
Sure, let's go with that.
Hey, look, man, Bath & Body Works has to have Black Friday sales, too. Although, shit, now that I think about it, I gotta see what's going on with all the places, because there's the game sales, then there's the weeb sales, the kids with their game flies and their Sentais and their super flies or whatever. I can't keep track anymore. But anyway, here we are, episode 155. So, how have things been going for you guys lately?
Not too bad. Not too bad at all. I've been doing more of the usual work and nonsense. But I managed to get a pretty significant gift from a grand parental source in the form of an Xbox One X.
Ah.
There are some things I can't talk about. Because some people might be listening, but the wheels are in motion to try and get possibly a new car for me, or a new used car for me, because I got two cars dead in my driveway that I gotta do something with, and hopefully I can find something reasonably priced. Though we did have a plan earlier, but. I got bait and switched, so I'm a little pissed about that.
Oh.
Yeah, and that's never fun. But at least I have a brand new Xbox to play Jedi Fallen Order with, and 20 other games I'm probably going to play for an hour only and never touch again. And Skate 3, obviously, because that's the greatest game ever made.
Isn't that a mood?
Yeah.
But anyway, Mark, what about you?
Well, let's see. Ever since we finished recording our Grammy episode, which is live right now, wink wink. Yeah, I've been on the clock working as of, well, since Thursday. I would have had a day off Saturday, but they called me in. But the reason why I did that, because I look at my medical bill from, well, since I've been telling y'all, I've been, you know, been going to the doctor a lot, and it's like, yikes. Which, now I have to pay that off, and I found out hours after when I got to work, I say, look, the Sentai Filmworks sale is up, and oh my, oh damn, 95% off of shit.
Well, there goes my wallet.
And my wallet says, what are you doing? Don't spend that. You did it, you motherfucker.
Yeah. Me too.
Oh, sorry, I can't hear you over the sound of dank-ass animes.
I got a bad mate abyss. I have to. Okay. And that one show about I don't know, alcohol and these girls. That's been happening around me.
Anyway, as for me, well, my week's just been going about the same as it's always been. I got a really cramped schedule these next few days because I'm cramming a hell of a lot of hours at work to make up for the 2 days being lost. But on the bright side, I'm going to see Cattle Decapitation on Wednesday, so that ought to be fun. And, in a neat surprise, when I got home, I found a box lying on my bed. And when I open it up, what should greet me but my physical order of Fear Inoculum?
You got the thing!
Oh, finally!
It's beautiful. I can see the eye staring at me as I open up this massive CD packaging. and it's hypnotizing and making noises. I'm not sure if the mic is picking it up at all, but it's there. All the details and everything. Took him long enough. Seriously, I ordered this thing back in September. Damn. But, yeah, that happened. And so I'm just waiting until Turkey Day so I can fucking gobble my face, maybe get out, catch some more movies, because I think Knives Out should be out by then. And, you know, I've been hearing great things about that, so. But that's basically about it. So now, time to get on to our usual nonsense, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. As always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along with us and, you know what it is we're talking about when it comes to these various songs. So starting right up at the top, here's a name that I haven't thought about since 2011 or so. Viljarta. But look, I have very niche interests, okay? What do you want from me? Yeah, they haven't come out with an album since, like, Mastodon in 2011, but apparently now they're already back to put out some new stuff. They announced a new album for 2020 called Chaos 2, and they released the first single, Den Helige Anden. And, you know, I kind of liked that first album. I thought it had some flaws, but I thought it was kind of an interesting fusion of, like, sort of atmospheric post-doom and, like, djent ideas. But this one, why does this sound like Fallujah? Like, you know, earlier Fallujah? I mean, it's got a lot of those, like, chuggy deathcore motifs with the bursts of guitar and drums and that kind of similar razor-thin guitar production. It's got some of those doomier bits and some of the grooves and the super bellowing vocals. And, yeah, in the middle, it definitely gets a lot more djent-esque in spots. But, you know, I'm sorry. It's kind of hard to get over the Fallujah sound. It's not bad, but it's like, I don't know, it's like being served ground beef with olives in it. It's just, you spend a lot of time picking out the olives, if you know what I mean. And that is your hot food take for the day. I do not like olives.
Okay. I'm not sure if I'm getting a good interesting or bad interesting vibe from this. Because this is a strange mishmash of all kinds of metal subgenres melded together. I'm not entirely sure about this. I'm going to have to sleep on it for a while.
Yeah, I hope I can get some sleep soon. But anyway, time to move on to the next track here. So, about a couple weekends ago was the second annual Adult Swim Festival, which featured an appearance by MF Doom, which ultimately turned out to be Hannibal Buress. There's not really any broader point to bringing that up. It's just, A, I thought it was funny, and B, we actually have a song featuring MF Doom on it this week. Sees him teaming back up with Danger Mouse and someone called Sparkle Horse. I don't know what a Sparkle Horse is. Or what the name of the song is. Ninjurus? Yeah, is that like a pun?
Yeah.
Like Dangerous Ninja?
Apparently it's an unreleased collaboration between both Danger Mouse and Sparkle Horse way back, considering the fake one dude from Sparkle Horse. He died 9 years ago. Oof. Big oof. And is this like to come to his Danger Mouse? Is this like the first forthcoming commission album, which is titled 30th Century Volume 2, which I'm guessing, you know, from, you know, Danger Mouse's record company 30th Century Records. And see how it says it's like recorded way back. Yeah, this is definitely some, you know, some old Danger Doom stuff that we kind of needed for a while, which. Of course, you get this fascinating beat. This very low tempo beat. Which, oddly enough, the drums percussion are done by Patrick Carney of the Black Keys.
Huh.
Which, okay. And of course you get stuff like, brand new Chris Beef and Box Piss him on him. Season Box Ticket, T-shirt socks, Wiz Kiss on him. Silver Green Argyle, Yank Fitter Edit, anything you spit it at, Nick killed the dead it. Stump Gators, a little complicated errors, come to Slayer, no paper, no push a hater. This is the no demos, and I don't know why folks keep missing as these new memos. This is definitely some MF Doom.
Yep.
Doing a lot of word salad shit, which got me going like, okay, but I'm still, but still digging the sound of it. But yeah, this would be an interesting track.
Damn right. Anyway, time to move on to the next track here from Day to Remember. Okay. It's off their upcoming new album, You're Welcome, which I don't think has a specified release date yet. Oh, man, that's...
Yeah, you don't have time to prepare back for it then.
And we have a song called Resentment here. And, you know, that album title is unfortunate because, you know, every review that hears this album is just going to say, you're welcome for what exactly? Because I'm certainly not welcome for this. I mean, it's not a good sign when it opens up with cheap as hell sounding synthesizers over top the usual generic chugs and crap. And then when it gets into the verses, oh boy, it's Imagine Dragons bullshit, kids! Oh boy! Oh, fuck!
Always the Imagine Dragons.
Okay, anything else?
This is just sad, what the fuck? That's all I have to say. Four words, goes full Imagine Dragons. Actually, five words, goes full Imagine Dragons, fuck. That's it. There's my review.
Okay, yeah, the verse happens, and it's filled with hard mood whiplash. I will say one positive thing. The bridge and breakdown is pretty good, right from the late 2000s, early 2010s metalcore scene. I will say, compared to the last song we've heard from them, this is an improvement. Maybe marginally, but, you know, it's something.
Oh my god, this is gonna be a mistake.
Oh.
I guess you could say we certainly do resent this song. Or at least I do.
Yeah, considering you went full Rebel Taxi for a moment with your voice.
Oh my god, I actually did. Fuck! Well, no turning back now. Guess that's my niche now. Anyway, so time to move on to the next song here. This past week's entry of the Adult Swim Singles program. This one coming from a guitarist named James Blackshaw, who apparently has been out of the game for about 4 years and has decided to link back up with Adult Swim. Well, link up for the first time. I mean, I don't know why I said back up. But anyway, linking up with Adult Swim for his big comeback single, Why Keep Still. And yep, this is a lot of guitar. And I mean a lot of guitar. To the point where I wouldn't be surprised if this was either one of those double necks or a 12 string. There is a lot of fucking complicated chord progressions, arpeggios, all that. Dude's just showing off. This kind of feels like the thing you would hear in like one of those guitar, like, check out this guy on the street playing guitar and it goes fucking viral on Instagram with like fucking millions and hundreds of millions of views or whatever. I mean, it's not to say it's a bad thing. Dude does have fucking chops, after all. I'll give him that much.
Mm-hmm. Sad English boys with guitars is always in my wheelhouse. Hi, Steven. So, yeah, good stuff.
Yeah, this is very calm, relaxing, kind of, like, it's kind of soothing in a way. It's like, man, you know what? I'm liking this. Like, yeah, this is a good track. Very good track.
And now let's move on to the opposite of acoustic, because apparently there was yet another Adult Swim musical project that came out this past week or so. This one collaborating with the label Hyperdub to release a compilation appropriately called Hyper Swim. And there's a lot of songs we could talk about here, but the big one that everyone was focusing on, even Mr. Jason DeMarco appropriately fanboying after having accomplished this life goal of his, we got another new track from Burial, yeah! You know, and this isn't even going to be on that decade-long compilation project that he's coming out with next month. This one is called Old Tape. And, you know, I gotta admit, it's an appropriate song, because for as, you know, dense and futuristic as it sounds, you know, it's got a lot of, like, skittering hi-hats, the clapping snares, lots of moody, bleep-blip synths with that kind of dark, almost Blade Runner-ish techno vibe. Lots of vocal samples coded in vocoder, and, you know,
girl.
Yeah, all of that. But it's also got a lot of, like, kind of broken, glitchier elements, like this kind of scratchy, almost pseudo-VHS tearing popping in and out to contrast the more futuristic-sounding elements of the production droning on for all of, like, you know, 8 minutes. I mean, it's good shit. It's very good shit. I just feel the need to describe it in that fashion.
Yeah, but even though like I listen to that like the whole, you know, Hyperswim, you know, collab, like maybe three times right as of today. That's today, but this one struck out to me the most, and because I like the groove of it, especially, you know, the vocal samples, glitches, all that shit. Like, this one was my favorite track of the whole thing. Who knows? Might be a review of it coming out very soon. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
Stay tuned to this space for more. But anyway, time to go from that to another visit to our old friend, Mr. Ozzy Osbourne. Once again, we're still expecting Ordinary Man coming out at some unspecified point in 2020, and we have the second single here, Straight to Hell, this one featuring a guest guitar solo from none other than Slash. And yeah, this feels more my speed as far as, like, just being a straight-up Aussie banger. I mean, it starts off with that quintessential, you know, ad-lib, all right now, before getting into this, you know, huge swinging triplet groove. With, of course, some real, the occasional odd lyric in there, like, I'll make you scream, I'll make you defecate, which seems like an odd thing for Ozzy Osbourne to be talking about. He'll probably be making himself defecate soon, because he's old. But yeah, there's some real meatiness to the riffs as it grooves and bangs and the drums writing along with it. It's a pretty, you know, big sounding song, and Slash's solo, it's a Slash solo. It's pretty much, if you don't like Slash, then you're not going to like this, but I do like Slash sometimes, and I like this. It's pretty, yeah, this is more what I'm expecting, although it does still sound like there might be the problem. We know what the problem is.
Uh-huh. So, okay, I'll start by saying this is some more solid output from Ozzy, but, Blocks of Red in Audacity. Oh, ease boy. Up on the compression and overblown levels. God dang it.
Jesus, man.
Ooh, man.
Yeah, we're not going to escape this. We're going to be dealing with it for a whole album. Even if the songs are really good, it's just going to be Blocks of Red. But anyway, time to move on to the next track here. So, I don't know if you all know, but there's a movie coming out called Spies in Disguise. Some generic-looking animated cartoon shit where fucking Spider-Man and Gemini Man go on adventures with a bird who may or may not also be the genie from the Aladdin live-action remake. I don't know, it just looks like something that they, like, throw into theaters to, like, keep your kids quiet for a couple hours. But even then, I think your kid would look at you and be like, Mommy, this movie is lame. Why did you take me to this? Can't we go see Knives Out? But anyway, of course, as is the trend with a lot of these movies, there is, of course, soundtracks where they get artists that, you know, had some credibility and then water them down for the kiddies. And if you think their depravity knows no bounds, well then let me introduce you to Mark Ronson, who is apparently working as the composer or the curator or producer on this whole soundtrack, and Anderson .Paak on a track called Then There Were Two. And if you thought that they couldn't possibly take a man as soulful, as sensual, as charismatic as .Paak and water him down to the point where it's more sterile than bleach, well then you thought wrong, sir. Seriously, I've seen more fucking charisma and energy from an episode of Sesame Street. Goddamn. Listen, that's all I have to say. They took .Paak and they turned him into fucking, like, childish nonsense. How does that even happen?
Well, yeah, I'll say this. I was expecting worse. I'm not gonna say it's terrible. I'm just gonna say, like, I mean, knowing that it's from Blue Sky, aka Fox, aka Disney, damn.
Yeah.
It's like, I mean, the imitation is still there. I mean, it's still got, like, a lot of jazzy, cool sounds. It sounds something here out of a Bond movie. At least, maybe one of the earlier 60s Bond movies, at least, from what I'm hearing. I mean, I thought I would hate it, but I don't. Here's the thing, I was expecting worse. Yeah, because when I saw this one, I'm like, what the hell? And then, I don't know, my feelings are confused with this. It's like, it ain't exactly as, I mean, I mean, it sounds better than anything I hear from Illumination movies, which that had Tyler Crater. This has Anderson .Paak.
Let's just move on. So we don't have to linger on this too much. I don't know. I'm starting to get mad just thinking about this. But anyway, so moving on to the next song here. Remember, we got a new Kesha album coming out January 10th called High Road, and we have the second single from the album, My Own Dance, a song which lyrically is about following the beat of your own drum, or dance, so to speak, and not being beholden to the whims and commands of someone else who obviously doesn't give a shit about you. I wonder what this could be a metaphor about. Suck it, Dr. Luke. But anyway, the song, you know, it's got that that boisterous Kesha personality. Musically, I kind of like it a little less than the last single we got, just because it feels a little bit too bare bones. It's got, like, some clattering percussion and a bit of acoustic guitar that dots the mix here and there. It's not too saturated or anything there. It's just, it kind of feels like the music's not doing enough to, like, bolster Kesha's attitude into even further over-the-top territory, but it's an alright song, I suppose.
What I can say is, it sounds pretty good. Like, it's not as good as the last one. I mean, this one is a bit more mid low than the last one, which is kicking high gear for me from my point of view. But yeah, this one, it's alright.
Yeah, but anyway, time to move on to the very last song here, and just a quick question. You kids still having fun with that there Devil May Cry 5? I don't know. I haven't touched the damn thing, because I don't give a shit. It's known as one of my spiciest takes.
Yeah, you're the one guy who likes reboot Dante more than, you know, actual Dante.
You can say actual all you want, but, you know, I know what I like, and you ain't gonna stop me. Just like you ain't gonna stop me on mac and cheese. But anyway, tangentially related to that, so Suicide Silence, looks like they are going to be back on Valentine's Day. So, you know, if you want to break up with someone on that day, I can think of no better way than to get them a copy of their new album, Become the Hunter. that's horrible. Anyway, so yeah, we have the new album announcement. And of course, after that, there's songs to deal with. Apparently, two tracks came out, one of which was really more like an intro interlude sort of thing. So we're going to talk about the actual song here called Love Me to Death. And yep, it certainly sounds like deathcore so far. Slow menacing chugs of the guitar and drums, blast beats and all kinds of really meaty grooves, screeches and bellows in the vocals. Breakdowns aplenty as everything gets full saturated in the mix. Some serial killer sounding guitar noodling for good measure. So far, no signs of any Teehees. I'm concerned because this feels like the calm before something really bad is about to happen.
Well, you can take this in one of two ways. But let me just say, considering that last album, how it so badly missed the mark. Thank God and Mitch Lucker above that this band is doing what they do best. Yeah, it might be simplified and repetitive, but, you know, that's what they're good at. This is the kind of sound they're good at. And it has a strong tone that's very reminiscent of No Time to Bleed. That amazing album, which is good. Yeah. Yeah. Very good song. Nothing too over the top, you know, considering what kind of band this is. It's basically back in their wheelhouse after that. And pretty cool video to it. Again, reminiscent of No Time to Bleed. But there was something at the end that caught me really off guard. I think it caught everyone off guard.
Ah, yes. Yes, it did. A whole narrative about this very murderous fellow who's going around killing people in a cloak. And then once we finally get to the very, very end, the last 5 seconds or so, the gentleman takes off his cloak briefly and goes, Tee-hee! And it's Jared Dines!
Yes, as you said, a gentleman.
Ha ha ha! The most gentle of gentlemen, if you will. Yeah, imagine, I have to imagine what the conversation was like to get him into that video, considering the roasting. Or roastings, if you will.
Yeah. Though he did make Doors into an excellent acoustic ballad, gotta give him credit for that.
Yeah, and at least it seems like Suicide Silence must have a good sense of humor about the whole thing. Perhaps maybe this will win them some goodwill. Or something, I don't know. I can't tell how the average Suicide Silence fan will react to this. We'll just have to see what the whole album is like. But anyway, that basically does it for the new song discussions. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, there are news topics. So stay tuned for all of that.
Plenio.
And we're back. So to start off with the news topics here, let's take things to my neck of the woods, where apparently for some reason the mayor is just giving out keys to anyone, I guess. Look, I never understood how giving someone the keys to the city works. Like, are the keys symbolic? Do they unlock anything? Are they meant to unlock anything? Can you pawn them for actual cash? I just have several questions about how this works. I've seen it all the time in like TV shows, but I didn't think it was like an actual thing. But apparently it is, because on November 15th, so this is like about 10 days ago, roughly, probably like 2 weeks, apparently Mayor Francis Suarez had handed corn frontman Jonathan Davis the keys to the city of Miami. Apparently, from what it says, the ceremonial award is generally given to, quote, an esteemed resident or frequent visitor to the city. Which is weird, because I didn't think Jonathan Davis visited Miami all that much. I figured he was more a Bakersfield kind of guy. I mean, well, shit, I know, they got a bunch of tour dates here in 2020, and they're not even hitting Miami. What the? So, like,
I mean, I know what Bakersfield is like. It's not pleasant, so I don't blame him for vacationing in Miami every so often.
Yeah, but, I mean, on the bright side, I guess at least it is DJ Khaled.
Well, now I'm wondering, if I throw a pie in the face of Marco Rubio, will I get a key to the city?
Hey, that's, you know, we could always test that theory.
Okay, I guess get a pie. I guess I'll put this, can an iron fit in the pie? I mean, it worked for Tom and Jerry.
Hey, the only way to find out is to try.
Yeah.
Let's hope it survives the oven. You know, unless we're just dressing the pie raw and throwing it at them. We'll just drape the top of the pie on top and then psh.
Yeah, add some whipped cream, maybe some cherry just to disguise. All right, time for the pie.
Yes. Anyway, time to move on from that at least fun riffing news to boring legal hoo-ha shenanigans, poppycock, all that nonsense.
Yeah, it's that time again. Time to talk about the boring world of copyright law. Yeah, the Ask Musicians for Music Act, or AMFM, has been introduced by Senator Marsha Blackburn and Representative Gerald Nadler. According to the Variety piece, aims to revise existing copyright law for radio stations and musicians. The gist of it is, radio stations can use songs over the broadcast without having to pay royalties to creators who own a stake in the sound recordings, as the piece says. And this act would require radio services to pay money to the music that they use.
Because we all know, if there's any industry that's brimming with money, it's broadcast radio.
Yeah. This opens up many bags of worms. And wouldn't you know it, the National Association of Broadcasters is one of the groups that has not been too kind to this kind of thing, which I say, look, radio royalties, that's been a mess for a long time. It's not going to get fixed overnight. There's not going to be anything to really make everyone happy because, you know, radio is dying. That's all I'm saying. Radio's dying.
True facts.
Yep. I'm shooting right now.
Yes. So, quoting National Association of Broadcasters President and CEO Gordon Smith, NAB opposes the AM-FM Act, which could decimate the economics of America's hometown radio stations that have launched the careers of countless musicians and exposed legacy artists to a new generation of listeners. We're pleased that a bipartisan group of 201 House members and 25 U.S. senators recognize this potential harm and have co-sponsored the Local Radio Freedom Act, a resolution opposing any new performance fee on local radio. NAB Store remains open to work with record labels to find a holistic solution to this issue that reflects the enduring value to artists and labels of local radio to our hundreds of millions of terrestrial and digital listeners. Unfortunately, the record labels have shown little interest in having those discussions. Because of course they would.
Hmm.
Yeah, so there isn't a whole lot to go into here. This has not been, from my understanding anyway, signed into law. Knock, knock, knock yet. But I'm sure this is going to go off with everyone being super happy and not at all pissy. Like the 400 other bills that have been stranded in Congress. Isn't that right, Mitch?
Mm. The turtle always gets in the way.
Stinky-ass turtle, motherfucker.
Who knows? He might find a way to get involved with this, too.
Because
he's just that kind of bastard. But anyway, time to move on to the next topic here. Some 2020 movie news. Coming out April 24th, 2020, a new thriller horror film called Antebellum, which stars one of our perennial favorites, Janelle Monáe. And it's kind of an odd one, because we got the first teaser for the film, and I'm not entirely sure what to make of it. Even when you know that it's from the producers behind Get Out and Us. So watching that, knowing those movies, and then watching this trailer, which is some kind of weird mystery that takes place across multiple time periods, specifically with Janelle Monáe playing a popular author named Veronica Henley, who's trapped in dual realities, one being the present and one being, you know, kind of like slavery plantation days, hence the movie name Antebellum.
Yeah.
There's obviously going to be layers to this, and, you know, friggin' 50 seconds to a minute only raises tons and tons of questions. I mean, I do want to see it, though, because if it's on the same level as Get Out and Us, then it's going to be something really special. But I have questions. Many.
We were on break. I was watching this because I ain't seen the trailer yet. I was like, okay, there's slavery and there's some little white girl around. And I don't know why. What the hell's going on? And also, I still need to see Us.
Oh, dude, that movie was so good.
Because I need to. I've been. I have much going on, but shit, or at least not much money, but yeah. This look interesting.
Yeah. We just have to wait until April then. That's obviously when it's going to go down. But anyway, time to move on to our next topic here. And Alex, care to hit us with the relevant quote for this particular news piece?
Now, which quote would that be? Because I can think of several.
I believe the one you used when you messaged us about this particular news story.
Ah, okay. Let me just go back into the inner depths of my mind to pull this out. Ah, ha, ha! So you come crawling back, you cheap, fat sack of shit.
Ah, so you come crawling back, you cheap sack of shit.
Ah, there it is. It's the only thing that could sum up this particular news story. Because it looks like, apparently, Despite having signed a cessation of touring agreement almost 6 years ago, Motley Crue is going back on tour, or at least planning to do so. Ah, Jesus Christ. I don't know why. Well, okay, I mean, technically I know why, because obviously they're looking at how much money bands like Guns N' Roses are making off their reunion tour, and for the record, Guns N' Roses is making hella money.
What about Rolling Stones?
Yeah.
Seriously, like so much money. Like, whatever amount of money you think they're making, I guarantee you it's more than that. But, and, you know, obviously following the success of the biopic The Dirt, I guess they're trying to capitalize on that audience, so... And here's the funny thing, though. I forget which member of the band said this, but I believe someone promised that if they ever reneged on this agreement, then they would give live tickets, well, free tickets, to anyone who bothers to go to the shows. But then again, this I don't even know if this document was fully legally binding, so, like, I don't know how we can cash in on that, assuming you want to. I mean, who wants to see Motley Crue in 2020?
Like, I think we've all seen the videos of Vince Neil playing in dive bars, and that's just not pleasant at all.
Ugh, God, yeah. That's just sad, man.
Yeah. But, you know, we live in a day and age where big reunion tours are happening against the sea of nostalgia, because we have... For some reason, the Black Crowes reuniting, which I don't freaking get why. Black Crowes sucks. Don't at me.
Jesus.
And then, you know, I agree with Eddie Trunk. Don't believe people when they say that they're going to be retiring or doing a farewell tour, because it never sticks. I'm not even sure Kiss is going to stick to it, because they started their... End of the Road tour back in January. It's going to be ending in July of 2021.
Oh, wow.
And I'm pretty sure they're not going to end it there. I'm pretty sure they're going to find a way to, I don't know, have their heads Futurama style on prosthetic bodies so they can continue playing for eons to come and sell overexpensive merchandise.
Yeah, and plus, didn't we also get the news that even Slayer was pulling back on it? I could have sworn I heard somewhere that Slayer was pulling back on their retirement plans. Which wouldn't surprise me in the slightest. Jesus, just, God, why is it so hard to commit to the concept of retirement? It's always something.
Retirement problems, it's not just rappers.
Or Hayao Miyazaki.
Oh yeah, him too.
But anyway, time to move on to the next news topic here. We got the lineup for the 2020 edition of the Shaky Knees Festival taking place May 1st through the 3rd in Central Park, Atlanta. So your lineup, your big headliners are for Friday, the Black Keys, for Saturday, the Smashing Pumpkins, and Sunday, the Strokes. Accompanying the rest of this lineup, you got the likes of Yeah Yeah Yeahs, Portugal, The Man, Joan Jett and the Blackhearts, Of Monsters and Men, Liam Gallagher, Angels and Airwaves, Brittany Howard, Royal Blood, Phoebe Bridgers, Stereolab, Drive-By Truckers, The Front Bottoms, The Growlers, Ty Segall, and The Freedom Band, Guided by Voices, The Darkness, Orville Peck, White Reaper, which I could have... Isn't that the drink that everyone's into? White Reaper? You can get it out of, like, fucking claw machines now. Fucking Beach Bunny, Surfer Blood, Viagra Boys, Bones UK, Jerry Cinnamon. I don't know who all these people are. But apparently there's way more and even more to be announced. So, you know, Shaky Knees. If that's your choice of festival, fine, go for it. I wish I could recognize more things. But if you want something that actually does have a certain bit of a recognizability to it, then let us go to the Charlotte Motor Speedway in North Carolina the exact same weekend. Well, yeah, May 1st, 2nd, and 3rd at the Rock City Campgrounds for Epicenter.
Yeah. In fact,
we might have brought this up before, because I believe this to be one of the 5 festivals that Metallica will be headlining across summer of 2020.
Yes, it will be. And, yeah, okay, let's get to it.
Yes. So, Friday will be one of Metallica's sets. Joining them alongside that day will be, Godsmack.
Ew.
And Papa Roach.
Oh, Danny Warmer, why?
But, aside from those, there will also be the likes of David Lee Roth, Royal Blood, Grammy nominees I Prevail, Ghost Mane.
Oh.
Okay.
Let's see, Ice Nine Kills, The Darkness, Starset, Sick of It All, Agnostic Front, 3 question marks followed by 2 question marks.
Whatever that is.
New Year's Day, Bones UK, Fire from the Gods, 3 Teeth, NASCAR Aloe, Joyous Wolf, Killstation, Stitched Up Heart, Hero of the Band, and Through Fire. What's going to be going on Saturday? Alex, care to take over?
Yeah. So we have another set of headliners for Saturday. We have Disturbed. Okay. And Lynyrd Skynyrd for some reason.
They're still around?
Yeah. And oh boy. Big Grumpy Uncle Aaron Lewis and Stained.
It's been a while.
Mark, don't you start. I'm expecting that from Alex, but not you. How dare?
I'm pretty sure he's just going to be on stage for the whole set, just staring at the floor, barely giving a fuck, because, you know, he doesn't care. Anyway, filling out the bill, we have some pretty interesting choice selections here. Chevelle, very nice. Cypress Hill.
Oh.
Yeah. Anthrax, nice.
A.
Alter Bridge. Oh boy! Code Orange, your favorite band.
Let's move on.
Okay. We also have Mice and Men, Saint Asonia, Ginger, Crown the Empire, Anti-Flag, City Morgue, The Chats, Dinosaur Pileup, Clint Lowry, Broken Love, spelled Birkin Love, Brutus, Tooth Grinder, Brass Against, Selfish Things, 0936, and Like Machines.
Okay, that is a collection of acts there, certainly. No idea why Tooth Grinder's there, but whatever. Now we move on to Sunday to round things out here, and Sunday will feature the other big headlining set for Metallica. Alongside them will also be the likes of Deftones and Volbeat. And then beneath those three, you have bands such as Gojira, Rancid, Dropkick Murphys, Hell Yeah, Bad Wolves, Hollywood Undead.
Oh, Danny Warmer, why?
Sleeping with Sirens.
I repeat my previous statement.
Oh, hey, Power Trip, nice.
Oh, nice.
The Amity Affliction, whatever. Death Rocks. Goodbye, June. But how can you say goodbye to June if this is in May? June hasn't even happened yet. Airborne. Stray from the Path. Plague Vendor. Ego Kill Talent. Higher Power. Sky and Skinned? Sky NDs?
Well, I don't know.
And more TBA, a.k.a. my favorite band.
Yeah, I don't know what to think about this lineup as a whole. It has some good choices here. Of course, 2 nights of Metallica, that's going to sell no matter what. But, man, some of these choices are, yeesh. Just yeesh.
Why Skinner, though? Didn't they all literally die, like, 10 years ago?
No. apparently they're still alive, still doing things, but yeah, I don't know. I'm wondering why Stain is here too, considering I will direct you to the regarding the past episode of that of Stain's 14 Shades of Boring Live Journal Dad Rock for greater context.
True. You all should watch that. But whatever, I'm obviously not a festival booker. They must know something I don't.
Yeah, clearly.
Bastards. But it is what it is. So now there's just one last thing to take care of, and that is the unfortunately paltry list of new album releases for the week of November 29th, 2019. We literally only have three major ones to hit up here. First up, the new Cattle Decapitation album, Death Atlas. We got a new project from The Game with Born to Rap, and apparently a new album from Joe Pesci called Still Singing, which is weird because I didn't even know he ever started singing.
Okay, that's new to me myself. Like, okay. I do want to mention this. The new album from Griselda Records, the whole crew with What Would Shangun Do? As in the first joint with Shady Records.
Oh yeah, I guess I must have missed that because you know the internet is unreliable in catching that news sometimes. But that's about it for all that. So now time to clean house, get the hell out of here. So Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
As always, or of Azure, where I continue to find reasons to do things. So that's as much as I'm going to get tonight. It's been a week.
Yeah. Anyway, Mark, what about you?
As usual, Twitter, Matt Tavern Media, my site, MattTavern1HyperDoublePress.com. As recent, I did a highlights review of a bunch of shit I just watched on Hulu, Netflix, all that shit. And also a new story has emerged. Yes, I finally put out the first episode of Or Fashion Next Gen, or AFN, yeah, called BK Squad. Yes, my own Boruto, I guess.
Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me, robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Subscribe to the podcast, Google Play, and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up by the weekend on the official YouTube channel of Surreal Resolution. Just subscribe and hit the bell tab so you're officially notified when new shit goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter, at @SurrealReso. Like us on Facebook. Hit up the website, surrealresolution.com, for written articles. This podcast, Podcast M&A, all of that dear shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat if you want us to find you just the spiciest Black Friday deals. And of course, as always, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, that'll about do it for this week. We'll, of course, see you again next week. And until then, seriously, I can't wait to just stare at the screen of this album, which has a screen in it, because we live in the year 2019.
Pray for your wallets.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you.